B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I'm not going to start angry, Trey. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say good morning.
Yes, there you
I'm
go.
I'm
going
to say, how are you? And I'm going to say, I hope everyone's weekend was lovely.
I had a beautiful... Hold on, let me put my mic screen.
There we go.
I had a beautiful, 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 beautiful weekend, man.
Mm.
It was lovely. Other than sport, outside of sports, it was a lovely weekend.
Oh, that's great.
I woke up early Saturday morning, put on my bike gear, went for like a 15-mile bike ride out in just the country. That's what I do.
The country of Medford?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
nice.
Just got my Medford, you know, got my suburban night on. You know what I'm saying? I did the suburban thing, man. Put on some biker gear, a helmet, some shades.
Spandex and all.
Yeah.
Do you wear the onesie?
You got to cut out. You got to cut wind, man. You know.
I'm sorry.
You have to make sure.
I just
that you're gliding through. You know. You don't want any. You know. Drag.
Absolutely. You have to be aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic
that
is the word
correct.
I was looking for. So yeah. So you know, I'm out there just in the country. You know. My you know, because I tried this in Florida one time.
What happened?
My wife goes taking pictures of me and everything, laughing, you know, because, you know, the big dog in bike gear.
Mm. Yeah.
So my
big
brother.
Big dog in bike gear.
My brother gave me the nickname Big Can of Thunder. You know what I'm saying? So Big Can of Thunder was on the streets on Sunday morning. Just marveling at the views.
Oh, there you go.
Took some pictures of a horse farm and everything. Then I went and played some golf with my son.
That's beautiful.
You know, and then, let's see. And then I did the ultimate suburban. Went to a nice little house birthday party. Shout out to my fellow Medford family, Athena, her birthday.
Very nice.
And Rob, and then, you know, some of my other neighbors out there. We just hung out, took our shoes off, took pictures in the grass. You know, just doing suburban stuff, man.
Wow, you are a suburbanite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a beautiful weekend.
At what point did you take the spandex off and put on normal
spandex
clothes?
Came out, you know, because it took me about an hour ride. So then afterwards, took a shower, got cleaned up, and then went straight to the golf course.
I wouldn't be surprised if you said it took me an hour to get out of the spandex.
No. You know, Spandex just slip right on and off, you know.
Well, I know. I just haven't seen a lot of spandex at, like, the big and tall stores.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's a special order.
Bob, was yours as delightful?
It was. I did a little wine festival. Suburbanite thing. Golfed on Friday. Wine festival on Saturday. Oh, yeah. Two parties yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, busy. I stayed away from the television, Mark.
Good for you.
It was very good for me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, for the most part.
We had Jamie taking a baby to the game for the first time.
I got to see firsthand two of these three excruciating losses, but I had a great time.
It's nice that Skyler's first words were, "Come on, hustle!" I would have caught that! I've been on the earth for 20 minutes!
I went into this weekend going... The outcome on the field is not going to affect my happiness at the stadium.
See, there you go.
That's what I did.
That's
you
all
fool.
About the mindset.
Yeah.
Wait, it actually happened?
Yeah, no, Friday night, when I didn't feel good about this series at all. Because Addie said to me on Friday, she's like, well, it's the Marlins. They should win this series, right? And I went, nope.
I hated that take.
I was like, no, they really shouldn't. So I just didn't feel good about it. So I was blessed with Diamond Club seats Friday night for the Utley thing. And I went, this team's performance is not going to ruin my enjoyment this evening.
Yes.
I'm just going to have a good time, enjoy it. Yesterday, I took the baby to the first game. It wasn't going to get in the way of that either. Terrible performance on the field, but I had a lovely time.
There you go. That's not good for you. See, I would almost find it to be contagious. There'd be nothing I could do if I was at the game. I was down there Friday for the
Chase.
It's
like comically bad.
I ain't laughing. Like, in all seriousness, because it's not the type of thing that they're... Like, look, they are flailing at pitches, and they are letting fly balls drop or opportunities to get outs in foul territory. They're letting those balls drop in there, right? What I can't stand and what I can never just look at and go, you idiot, is the lack of hustle and awareness. Lack of hustle and awareness are the two things that every fan, regardless of athletic ability... has the ability to do.
Right.
And when you don't see professional athletes doing that, like the Phillies are not doing that right now, it is infuriating. And here's where I'm at right now. When people were calling to fire Jim Schwartz last year, I was off that bandwagon. I don't blame coaches, I blame players. When people were on the bandwagon, and still are some people, when it comes to Brett Brown, fire Brett Brown. I haven't been on that bandwagon. But right now, with Gabe Kapler, the most damning possible thing happen to him after yesterday's loss. The most damning possible thing. A player laughed at him.
Yeah.
How do you survive that? How, as a manager, as a coach in any sport, can you possibly survive not only just a player laughing at you, but your 330 stupid money type player laugh at you? Your big white whale of the offseason, what you invested all those months in, all the 118 days in, the waiting, the anticipation, the hype, that guy, Bryce Harper, laughed at your manager when he brought up the idea of having a curveball machine throw BP. That idea, I guess, is so outlandish. And we'll let you hear what Gabe Kapler said. We'll let you hear what Bryce Harper said. He scoffed at it. He laughed at it. He needed to pause to think about how he could politically correct answer that. How he could answer that question with a political correct, I don't know, a phraseology. Like, that, to me, is the most damning possible thing. Above not benching a player who didn't hustle after the second time you had to have a conversation with him. And you admitted to having a conversation with him previously. Mm-hmm. After watching Cesar Hernandez 2 days in a row have bonehead plays on the field, letting the ball drop in again, most damning possible, shuffling the lineup and it still doesn't work. How do you survive after those, by the way, on paper, like statistically proven things that didn't work? How do you then survive something that looks so obvious that you have lost your team?
Well, let me ask you this then. With Bryce Park, I'm sorry.
Gabe Kapler?
No. Bryce. With him laughing at Gabe, then is he the leader that you thought he was going to be?
No.
How can he say, all right, your coach or your the one that's over you?
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, look, this is what I think we should bring in. And you laugh about it. You're supposed to be the leader.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be the leader of the team. You're supposed to set the tone for everybody else. Like, hey, man, this is something that we need to work on. This is what the coach is saying that we might try. Support it instead of laughing at it. Are you the leader that you're supposed to be? Are you the guys that... So everybody in that locker room is supposed to be following you when you're laughing about it?
Yeah. You asked that earlier today, Trey. You said, who is the leader of this team? It's a great question. And... I don't think the manager is.
No, he can't be. The coach is just, he's the manager, he's the coach. You still need to have somebody in that locker room that's going to be the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Real Muto, I think, is a real professional in the way he handles himself and all that. But he, and I don't know this, but he seems like the quiet guy, just a guy that, you know, he doesn't love the handshakes and all that. So I don't know if he's kind of your outgoing leader. Harper, after what happened yesterday, you have to question that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know who the leader of this team is.
I think Gabe Kapler wants to be the leader of this team.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be the guy to lead the charge, but he's not. I don't think he's equipped to do that right now. And again, I'm not the guy that's always firing coaches or managers, but to me, when you have a player laugh at you in the free fall that you are right now, I don't see any other choice. Now, if you're asking me what I would do, he's out. There's no way you can survive this.
Wow.
But if you're asking me to make the prediction, he's not going to be fired.
Yeah,
if I'm going to predict what the Phillies are going to do, it's not firing him.
Yeah, I don't know if Clentak will do that.
It's his first managerial hire.
Exactly. It's that, not to ride it out. And look, when you look at the whole overall picture, as much as, you know, I'm the leader, as much as Gabe gets on my nerve, you know, he had this team in contention last year that didn't belong in contention all the way up until August.
Sure.
This team now is in free fall, but they were the first place team for the better part of 2.5 months this year.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it that way, okay, Gabe's done a good job, but I know you're going to play this clip. This is it's damning. I took it as Jamie and I were talking about in the 5 o'clock hour. I took it as him saying, "Really, we're resorting to that,"
mm-hmm.
and meaning Gabe's resorting to that. So yeah, it's damning.
So the other part of it, it's not just that he laughed at it, because I am upset with Bryce. Like, Bryce isn't blame free. And I'm not even talking about the numbers.
No one is blame free.
But in terms of just in context, just this subject, if you're Bryce Harper, how the hell do you not answer? The very simple answer is whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You're asking me what it needs to be. Yeah, curveball. Yeah, whatever it takes. That doesn't mean you have to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Gabe even said that in his comment. He said, for those that want it. It wasn't like this is a mandatory thing that everybody's going to have to do.
Right.
It's supplemental work to your normal work.
That should have been his reply, whatever it takes, because I know right now we suck.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it takes, hey, I'm willing to do it. But instead of for you to laugh at me, damn, well, you know what? You're supposed to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be the guy. You're supposed to be the one that everybody turns to and look at. That's what they brought you in. $330 million goes to you for you to sit up there and giggle about an idea that might happen, that might help you.
And get thrown out on the base pass.
And you've
yet
been
again.
Thrown out seven times. You know what? It kind of reminds me of the reporter. All of this, we had a reporter come on that one time from Washington, and he was like, the fake hustle.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm going to say it's not fake. It's stupid.
It's stupid, which makes it even... All right, so... Well, is it being stupid or fake?
I think it's just being stupid. All because right. It's not like he's not really hustling. Like, he is busting and trying to stretch it.
Yeah, you just sit up there and bust your ass and get thrown out. All right, you know, how about just stay? Instead of you sitting up, I'm going to go hustle this out, and you get thrown out, you don't help?
Yeah.
It's not helping.
Trey, if I chose to fight you right now, I would be aggressive, but I'd also be stupid.
I don't know. Let us do it.
So you're listening to him after the game last night. And first off, if you are still watching the post-game stuff, God bless you. Like, to sit through this is become even more frustrating.
I tortured myself.
They don't have answers. Nobody has answers. You're 1-9 in your last 10. 6-16 over the last 22 games. And you were in first place by 3.5 games on May 29th. You're 6.5 out now. 6.5 out now on June 24th. Less than a month, you have fallen now.
You got a big can of thunder all fired up, man.
What happened? Big can of thunder. You want to, you know, Barry Bonds is a big cyclist now, but he dropped like 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can't picture you on a bike. And he's not 6'8".
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, dude, I got me a nice little road bike. It's nice. We got little thin tires and everything, shifting gears.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know.
Big can of thunder.
That's what your brother-in-law called you that?
No, my brother.
Your brother called you that?
Yeah.
Older or younger?
Younger. Oh, yeah, it's just me and him.
It's just, okay.
It's just sister.
All right. How many years younger?
He's about 4 years.
4 years? All right, that's smart-ass range.
What's
that much younger?
What's the size differential?
Major. Yeah, my brother may be like 6'2", 6'3", and then I'm 6'7", yeah. So. But he's you know, we're... Yeah.
So here's one thing I want to do. I never just want to say I'm done with a manager and I would make a move without offering somewhat of a solution. And the more I think about this...
Joe Girardi?
I don't think... See, okay, he's definitely on the
list. I mean, that's the sexy name that's out there.
Oh, boy, is it sexy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I don't really like Joe Girardi. I know a lot of people want to throw him out. He was like 10 games under 500 with the Marlins and still won what manager of the year or whatever it was. Like, really... I understand that was like minor league ball for him before he took over the Yankees job, but everyone was like, oh my God, Joe Girardi's so great. They're only 10 games under 500. Like, that's not bragging. That's not, they don't brag about that. But anyway, so yes, that's the sexy name. I don't think that happens mid-season. I don't think Joe Girardi's going to go. I think he's going to wait to see how this year plays out, make a decision and, you know, cash in a huge check in the offseason. But, and it's not sexy at all. It's not eye-popping at all. But I think it's the move that makes the most sense if you are going to move on from the manager. And that's go to the guy that had a lot of these guys in the minor leagues, and that's Dusty Wathan. Good news, Jamie, he's off third base. Bad news is the last time the Phillies promoted an awful third base coach, it was Ryan Sandberg, and we all know how that ended.
Oh, boy.
So, that it's not sexy, it's not great, it doesn't blow anybody's hair back, and for a bald man, I know I shouldn't say that, but that's the move that I would make right now. I'd give this team to the guy that actually managed them, because I think they would have more confidence in him, in Dusty Wathan, than they would in Gabe Kapler. The only other idea is Rob Thompson, who I know a lot of people like coming over from the Yankees as a coach. And guess what? From what I understand, he's boys with Joe Girardi anyway, so maybe he would move back to a bench role if Joe Girardi ended up coming in here. But if you're Matt Klentak, you're not firing Gabe Kapler. If you're dealing in reality, not just in my opinion, but if you're dealing in reality, and again, my opinion is that there's no way Gabe Kapler can bounce back from this. Having your best player laugh at, having your $330 million investment laugh at you. But what is going to happen is I believe that Gabe Kapler is going to finish out the season. Barring some kind of historically awful, wire-to-wire, awful year, wire-to-wire, from May 29th to the end of the season, awful year, I don't think he gets fired. I think they're going to stick with him for one reason and one reason alone. Matt Klentak has invested in him. It's his first ever managerial hire as a GM, something that he's wanted to do since forever. And this is the first guy that he said, I'm going to win with you. He inherited Pete Maccannon. He chose Gabe Kapler.
Right.
And he's not firing him after a season and a half.
Yeah, you are. You're done now. After what happened yesterday with Bryce Harper.
My $330 million investment's laughing at him. And I've already watched this team not be disciplined, not be punished. Like, where's the accountability on this team?
They're very low IQ when it comes to baseball. It's not hard. Like you were saying it earlier. So Cesar Hernandez is on base. You bat four times a game. If you're Cesar Hernandez, you get on base once out of those four times. So when you're on the base path, run as hard as you can. That's all.
Is that
one out of the four times? Yesterday, ground ball to second base. He's on first. Yeah, the play shouldn't have been at second. And you know, so he goes in there thinking they're not going to go to second. Slows down the last three or four steps and gets thrown out by a hair. That can't happen. It can't happen. It happens way too much with this team. I will be shocked if reporters now aren't going to individual players. Mm. And maybe they already have and they're getting it off the record, but on the record and say, has Gabe lost his team? Or what's your feelings on Gabe?
We're going to be dissecting this with a big can of, what are you, Trey?
Big can of thunder.
Big can of thunder. That's we're going right. to be taking, we're going to open up a can of thunder and some whoop ass on the Phillies today, just like every other team in baseball's been doing. But this does bring us to our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us?
This morning we asked if our listeners have confidence Gabe Kapler can turn this team around. We have just under 300 votes so far. 76% say no.
Well, that's not a good approval rating right there, and you can take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery for all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at panthereast.com. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Gabe Kapler and Bryce Harper on what I believe is the most damning thing to happen to a manager. Time at the Fanatic 612.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I need a little MC Hammer right now.
A little MC Hammer.
You were telling me about a little lighthearted kind of jab at Gabe.
It was kind of funny. You know, you go through and you listen to everybody, you know, you watch everybody's comments to everything, and one of the funniest, look, I guess, GIF or GIF, whatever you want to call it.
Yo.
It had Hammer on there, and it says, stop, grammar time.
Grammar time?
Grammar time.
Because he's so articulate?
Because he's so articulate. He's so articulate. So they were like, stop, grammar time.
And then they just play
Hammer, and they're dancing around, you know.
That's pretty good.
And Gabe is talking. That's amazing.
That is nice, and that makes me feel good. Almost as good as Friday night felt before baseball started.
Okay.
Because Chase Utley addressed the media.
Chase Utley came in with a smooth cut, too, man.
Looking good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was great. The speech was great. The press conference was great.
I think I saw a meme of Utley and Ellen DeGeneres. I think he's kind of got like the Ellen cut going on a little bit.
Yeah, that's what everybody's saying.
Which is pretty funny.
Who
pretty
wears good. It better?
That's pretty good. I like that one. That made you feel good.
Yeah, that was. I was listening to his interview during the game, watching, you know, while I was watching it. I'm like, Chase, man, you going to pick it up a little bit, man? I mean, he was, yeah, I mean, you know, I just, I hit the balls and just hang out. And
yeah.
My kids are growing, and you know, I just kind of just cool out. You know,
that is a really good Chase Utley impression, actually.
Yeah,
this is very awesome playing here all these years. It was amazing. Yeah, my hair is beautiful.
if you're looking for the hype guy, yeah. If you're going to be introduced to at a concert or something like that, you don't want Chase being your hype man.
No. Coming to the stage, Mari Frazetta. That is married man.
Everybody off your feet,
and Sam.
Put your hands in the air.
Yes, here he is. Bob Cohen, the bad boy of girl soccer. Journalism.
I like Russ, yeah. I like our nicknames. We have the Can of Thunder.
Big Can of Thunder.
Big Can of Thunder. I got it. How do I lose
Big Can of Thunder?
Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Here is what I believe is the most damning possible thing. And it centers around a curveball machine. Now, a little information for you. About, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, Ruben Amaro Jr.'s running things. And there's a big story about is that Ruben Amaro Jr.?
Yeah. He was a big guy.
He was a big guy. Big R.
He was there Friday night at the Utley retirement.
By the way, did you see him do a little fist pump when he got, he did a little like yes kind of thing when he got like cheered?
Yeah, I think he was expecting boos.
Yeah.
And then there was a pretty decent cheer for him.
I was like, oh, Ruben, you're adorable.
Did he get a bigger applause than Nick Punto?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
What the hell was that?
Nick Punto, baby! No, I love seeing Nick Punto. Second baseman from Team Italy, not for nothing. Anyway, yes, I know that stupid fact. Anyway, sorry, that's where my mind went. I believe he was in the Eric Milton trade. But anyway, so enough with Nick Punto talk. So anyway, so the others out there, they get introduced, and that was wonderful. But they tell you this about how they're going to buy and how they did buy a curveball machine about 6 or 7 years ago. And it was like, it was news. And I remember looking it up, and it was like $300 for this thing. And I'm like, oh, this will make Ryan Howard not roll one over to first base. All right, great. So it became this big thing, and apparently some other teams do this, but it was in spring training that they were doing this. So this is the first time I've heard the curveball machine referenced since its purchase 7 or so years ago. Here is Gabe Kapler talking about, he's asked, I believe, by Todd Zalecki about what they're going to do to right the ship.
Where do you guys go from here?
Go to work. Go to work. Every single day. We don't stay the course. We make adjustments. So we're doing little things to get better. For instance, next week, first couple of days of the Mets series, we'll do some extra work on the field. We'll bring out a curveball machine and we'll bring out a live arm.
Okay. That didn't jump out to me as, oh, this guy, that's stupid. You know, what the hell? Why would you do that?
Yeah, I heard it and I went, all right, why not?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You've lost 7 in a row. Again, you're 1-9 in your last 10.
Everyone's underperforming. Why not?
You're juggling the lineup. And hey, Rhys Hoskins hit his 68th career home
run. Yes,
he did. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Yes. So that's nice. But whatever it takes. Yeah. Whatever it takes there, Gabe, whatever it takes. So then they go into the clubhouse and they decide to run this by the $330 million man. Now, here's the deal. I don't like playing audio for people that's like anything more than 30 seconds. I think you'll lose a lot, right? But I want to make sure people have the full context of this. This is the question and answer with Bryce Harper when a reporter brought up the idea of a curveball machine to him. Take a listen.
Gabe talked just a little bit a couple minutes ago about how we're going to bring in a machine to throw curveballs and maybe even somebody live to throw curveballs during BP and if extra work if people want it. How much does that go into maybe getting this turned around? How important is that kind of stuff?
I'm just trying to answer this. For me, I personally, I don't do that. I think for everybody else, if they want to do that, then, you know, that's on them. It's everybody hits the ball at 5 o'clock usually. So it's usually, 7:05 when the game starts. You got to get better and you got to play. You got to work hard and have good at bats. And if a guy's going to throw a curveball in there, you better be able to hit it. But if guys want to get extra work and, get that in, then, we're going to do that.
He scoffs at, laughs at the idea, and then thinks about the perfect way to say it without insulting his manager or maybe any other player on the team, but mostly his manager. Like, you have a player laugh at you. How do you survive that as a skipper? How did with a guy with no track record, Gabe Kapler, has 1 year of managerial experience in, what was it, AA for the Red Sox? And your player, your $330 million investment, is laughing at your idea.
It's not good.
It's how not do good. You survive that?
You know, why is he laughing? Is he laughing because it's such a stupid idea? Is he laughing because the only time he ever saw that, he might have been an 8-year-old or something? I don't know. But, yeah, it's a bad look. And for him to back off and say, hold on, let me just try to answer this question. And then thinking, my thought was, he's saying, what the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of a minor league system are we that we're doing this now? That's what he's thinking. I'm not saying that's what I believe. So I don't know. That's
That's a little bit damning.
Again.
Oh my God. Is Bryce Harper just been lighting the ball up?
No.
Well, maybe he should get his ass on a curveball pitching machine himself.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad. You're batting 299, 300. All right.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you might want to get on that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's something that I am, he's not blame free. It's not like this is some champion cause here. But when it comes to Bryce Harper, how do you not answer that question with, yeah, whatever it takes? Like, if he's searching for the politically correct answer there, it's, yeah, whatever it takes.
So maybe he makes Gabe even look better after this. People say, well, who the hell are you to question what he's doing? You're not doing much at the place this year.
Exactly. But Gabe gets no benefit of the doubt. We talked about this weeks ago. He's not a guy that people are rooting for.
You're looking at number one right here.
I mean, exactly.
I've been the leader of the Gabe Pride Parade for a while.
That's correct.
And it's getting tough to defend
Grand
one.
Marshall, Jamie.
Grand Marshall, yeah. And, yeah, there's not a lot of people on my side.
Mm.
So I'm in the minority, and I'm not going to die on that hill.
I tell you all the time that the firing the manager, the firing a coach is like the low hanging fruit of sports talk, right? Because guess what, you're going to be right.
Yeah, everybody you get hired to get fired
in a year or two, you're probably going to be right. Yeah. So I like to go there, but when you have players scoffing or laughing at your idea, I don't know how you bounce back from that. And it seems like now north of 70% of our voting audience agrees with that. They have no confidence in Gabe Kapler turning things around for this team. And here's the unfortunate thing about it, because the counter argument for, and this is why I always think in the, well, it's not his fault, you know, it's these guys got a hit. The counter is, yeah, when has that ever mattered? Like, it's not his fault that the team can't hit. Yeah, sure, so what?
It doesn't matter,
when,
yeah.
When the hell has that ever mattered in sports? It's how he polices the locker room. It's how he manages the locker room. That's the cliche that gets brought up all the time. He's not a coach. He's a manager. And right now, he's done a good job of managing his staff. And that includes players. It's not just coaching staff. That includes those players. Because he shows that he doesn't have the respect with the $330 million investment laughing at him. And then he can't police these players. He can't hold them accountable for when they don't hustle on the field. Yeah, like
when
plays.
When Cesar doesn't slide into secondary yesterday, I might have immediately benched him.
They look listless.
They're lifeless. They are 100% lifeless.
I just saw that play again when I was talking to you during the break.
It's tough to get your head around.
I mean, he slows down for four steps before going into second base.
It's like me in softball when I'm trying to get in there without sliding, and I'm fat and out of shape, and I'm like doing that little shuffle there at the end to sneak in.
And you're wearing shorts because you don't want to scab your knees.
Yeah, because I'm not sliding anymore.
Ben Davis had a great line yesterday. He's like, go ahead, slide. Get your uniform. Yeah, we'll wash it for you. Don't worry about it. Like, we can wash it. It's ridiculous how many times you're getting called onto the table for not hustling. And then when they do, Trey, like you said, it's stupid running. It's stupid aggression. Bryce Harper getting thrown out all the time. It's mind-boggling.
I'm for real. I'm telling you, man, he reminds me of my son when he was young. And my son be catching out, you know, running hard. Hey, Dad, did you see my smoke? Did you see the smoke behind me? And I'm like, son, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, you were really moving. You were tearing it up, man. You were really ripping off the road, man.
By the way,
I had to buy you some new shoes because they're all lit on fire right now. You were really running really fast.
That Sonic reference, my cousin Will's like my brother, right? And we were out to dinner, and he was just like, hey, the Sonic reference from Trey the other day? I was laughing my ass off, man. He was a big Sega kid. We were both Sega Genesis kids.
Because, you know, when Sonic called out, man, fire everywhere. Running fast, yeah.
610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jason Stark at 8 o'clock today. Hopefully, you'll have some answers for us. Let's jump on the phones here. Alex of Bethlehem. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, guys. Great show, as always.
Thanks, man.
Lot to get to. The reason why I'm making my first call to you guys today is just because of how awful of a series that was. I think this team is toast. I think they're done. You don't enter a pennant race by getting swept by the worst team in the National League in your home ballpark. I mean, this is a terrible, terrible thing that happened over the weekend.
It was embarrassing. And I know a lot of people went into this with the attitude of, oh, thank God you got the Marlins in town. But I'll tell you who I was thinking of, Alex. And I was thinking of our guest who's coming on in an hour and a half, Jason Stark. Because before the season started, he told us this division was going to be won by the team that beats the crap out of the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that didn't happen over the weekend. They got embarrassed. And a lot of the stuff,
it's all fixable. It's like a choice of whether or not you want to do it. Hustle, track a fly ball, play with a good head on your shoulders, not overreach like Bryce Harper is getting thrown out on the base pads seven times. It's very simple stuff, and they can't correct it.
And, you know, I'm not a Kapler fan by any means. I don't want to put all this on him. I think there's a lot of blame that needs to go around to a lot of different people. But, I mean, Kapler really irks me, but I would rather talk about Matt Klentak. This guy's playing fantasy baseball, you know? He on paper, coming into the year, yeah, we had a really nice lineup, 1-8. Okay, great. How about the bench, dude? Like, how about the bullpen? Our bullpen is trash. And this bench, this is like one of the worst benches I've ever seen in my life. And that falls back on Matt Klentak.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks a lot, guys.
I appreciate the call, Alex.
Dude, Friday night, would they send up Brad Miller and then replaced him with Sean Rodriguez as a pinch hitting option off the bench? It's the worst bench in Major League Baseball. There's no doubt in my mind I can confidently say that.
The guy that should be coming off your bench is your everyday center fielder and third baseman now.
Scott Kingery.
Think about it. I mean, this team was set up for Kingery to be that utility guy, to be maybe in the lineup three times a week and then come off as your pinch hitter. But because of injuries, because of everything that's happened, slumps, Franco being what he is, he's been forced into a different role. It's like, you know, when you have a good number three pitcher, but you have to make him your number one because that's all you have. Well, this is all they have, so that's what sucks. And I think it's incumbent upon Klentak. I don't know what more Gabe can do. But to your point, Mark, it's not what he's doing or not doing. It's the way the players perceive him now.
How do you survive a player laughing at you?
Yeah, that's tough. Laughing at your idea.
Does Bryce Harper get checked?
Hold on. That wasn't Bryce. That was, who was that again?
That was Bobby.
That's Bobby. That's my man. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Go ahead,
Trey. Who's going to check Bryce Harper on that?
I have no idea. Who was Rhys Hoskins going to step to him?
Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
Step to him. Like, yeah, it's like, come on, dude, for real.
Right. Like, who's going to check him? I mean, you know, because, I mean, that's I couldn't imagine as a player laughing at an idea that my coach would be bringing to try to get us to get better. Mm-hmm. And if you're supposed to be the guy, that's like Malcolm Jenkins laughing at something that Doug Peterson said that's going to help the team get better.
Right.
Like, what does that do? How is that going to help your locker room? How is that going to help your team?
If it came out where they were like, Trey, you have to hit this particular sled if you're going to get better. And you're like, yeah, how's that going to go
over?
I'm like,
show me the sled. Let's go do it.
Okay. Right. Yeah. You would do that.
Yeah,
right. That's why you were a great player.
Yeah, okay.
That's why if you were... No, I mean, I remember your career. You're pretty good at it.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how the answer to that, if you're Bryce Harper, isn't whatever it takes.
Yeah, it should be whatever it takes.
No, don't get me wrong. Just for the conversation, I love how Bryce Harper answered that question. But in terms of a guy who wants this team to win, that's not the approach you want there, Bryce.
Yeah.
All right, Mike and Delran, what's up, brother? Michael.
Yo.
Hey, buddy.
Sorry, guys.
All good.
So you can tell it's like the end of June and sports stinks right now because I've been driving down 95 South with a guy next to me with a Minnesota Vikings bumper sticker, and he's been trying to get over it to the left lane for like 9 miles, and I keep slowing down and speeding up. And he's like losing it.
He's like, Mike, come on.
He's so pissed off. He's throwing his hands up in the air. He thinks he's going to get over it, and he can't get over it. It's like down on 9 or 10 exits.
Drive safe, Mike. Drive safe.
I've been doing this a long time. This is 20 years down this road, man. You've got to learn something. Yeah, so that's how my summer's going. You know, that I watched that game yesterday, you know, Roman Quinn threw that guy out from out of the outfield at home, and I thought, oh, man, yeah, I was getting all excited, you know. And then the Phillies come up, they walk the bases loaded, and then they get two runs, and I'm feeling good. Like, all right, let's get a win, because I got tickets for tonight's game, right? I'm thinking about family.
Oh, nice.
Not nice. It's stupid. I'm going to go down like $125 because, you know, you park. The kids are going to want the ice cream hats, and the wife's going to want a $9 drink. And by the end of the day, I'm going to go spend a whole bunch of money to watch a $330 million guy laugh at his coach. I mean, when a guy's got 12 years and 4 months left, it's easy to laugh at a guy that will probably not be here in 3 weeks. Like, you know, and rightfully so. Game's got to go. I'm sorry. It's got to go. I know that you don't want to fire a guy midseason, but a statement's got to be made. You're not going to get rid of the players, right? He's got to go. I'd love to see Larry Bowen in charge, screaming at everybody. if it's going to be a train wreck, make it a real at least let me get my money's worth.
Thank you, Mike.
Larry Bowen yelling at our own team, getting thrown out of the game. That's what I want to see.
I love it, man. Thanks
you
for the call, buddy.
You too.
Larry Boa or Joe Girardi? Who would you want? They're both the sexy names.
They're the old school baseball guy.
Larry Boa's a sexy name.
Oh, absolutely.
Still?
Wow. Absolutely.
Amongst Phillies fans, yeah.
I love Larry Boa, but I don't even know if Boa would want to do it.
Yeah, well.
You know? I don't know.
Throwing the right check, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that's a lot of, oh my God. People in the city would love that. If they hired Larry Boa, they would go bonkers.
Well, is baseball the only sport when things are going bad that everybody calls for the coach or the manager to start screaming and holler? He's got to yell at them. He's got to get on him. He's got to scream. He's got to kick down the door. Why is baseball the only sport? Because it's such a slow and steady sport?
I honestly don't know. I feel like Brett Brown got called out for that, and then he actually did it after the first game against the Nets, and everyone loved him for that, how they bounced back. Remember, I mean, we even talked about that.
Yeah.
Baseball, maybe because
it's just so slow and
the shakeup is
every day, and yeah.
Yeah, because it's such a break from the mundane, I guess.
I guess.
Possibly. But Gabe tried it. He tried it on Saturday. He got thrown out of the game. And that's another thing.
He kicked the dirt, man.
But that's another thing.
Okay. I think that he realized he's up against.
I really can't wait to get into this.
Yeah.
Trey and I have the same take on it.
We're up against it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So,
wow, look at the good clock management.
Yeah. There we go.
Didn't learn that from Reed.
You guys are good coaches. You know?
No, so I want to get into that because there's two things over the weekend. One, I was hoping would eventually happen, and it did. And then one, in the Chase Utley ceremony that I was hoping would happen, but didn't.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just one thing, but we'll get into that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I thought the Phillies did a phenomenal job with the Chase Utley retirement night, the Chase Utley night celebration, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I did a little bit with NBC Sports Philadelphia where I went to the Harry Callis statue and had fans do the play-by-play of Chase Utley, you are the man. You know, that
good
thing,
idea
right?
By you?
Oh,
I told
stop.
You that on Friday.
You
I thought it was a good
man.
Idea.
Thank you, Bubba. Uh-huh. Thank you. But, yeah, it went well. It was fun. A lot of kids doing it and stuff. It was great. But Chase Utley, I went to the press conference, and it was just like, I can't help it. I'm smitten with Chase Utley. I'll always be smitten with Chase Utley.
Is that right?
And the Mets' hatred...
It bothers me a little bit.
I don't care. I'm secure enough. I know. And it only makes me feel better when I hear Mets fans just bitch and complain about Chase Utley.
Yeah, they don't like him a little bit.
So he does a press conference before everything, and I got the chance to ask him about where his work ethic came from, and like, basically, you know, kind of alluding to the team had none, but he did. And he went into this thing about, it came down to preparation, Trey, and I don't know if you were like this, but he was like, I block out everything after the preparation. When I do the preparation, it prepares me, obviously, for the game itself, mm-hmm. Mentally. And physically, I go through the prep, batting practice, and all that. So that, basically, when it gets between the white lines, everything's reactionary.
Yeah.
It's not about thinking. It's about reacting.
Yeah.
And he said, I did that so that when I looked in the mirror, I knew that I gave it everything I had.
Yeah.
And I was just like, preach, brother, preach.
Mm-hmm.
God, I miss this guy. Then he takes the field for his speech. And Charlie Manuel's on the field. The aforementioned Nick Punto's on the field. Mac is on the field. Rob McElhenney. And he was just great. And his lovely wife, Kate Olsen.
As soon as I saw them, I was like, I hope they have their catch finally.
Right? I know. I think anyone who watches This Is Always Sunny knows that had to happen.
Yeah.
I was like, they're either going to have a catch or they're going to play Chase's response to Mac's letter.
Yeah.
Because remember, Chase had a response.
Yeah, uh-huh, it was great.
Yeah. And obviously the catch took place, but there was one thing that I thought Chase was going to do that he didn't do. And I thought he was going to end his speech with, to all of Philadelphia, thank you. And remember, when we were world champions. World. Thanks again, everybody. And just like have everyone sit on the edge of their seat for a second. Have everyone in the production booth being like, oh, God, do we have to dump something? Are we about to dump something? I thought that was the only thing. The only thing that I was almost expecting that didn't happen. But it was awesome. They did a phenomenal job with the Chase Utley retirement night. Everyone, the place was packed.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Electricity.
Took the field.
How old are his kids?
Probably like 5 and 3 and a half,
yeah,
4.
So he wouldn't have done that. Not when your kids.
No. Why?
Yeah, with the world bleeping champs. Yeah,
just leave it hanging is what he did. He did tell the kids, hey, you saw the highlights up there, right? He goes, maybe pay attention to me when I'm trying to help you on the diamond.
You're damn right.
Because he said that in the press conference, too. He goes, my kids won't take baseball advice from me. Yeah. Like when I try to tell them, like, hey, maybe choke up. They're just like, no, Dad, I'm not.
Yeah. Your kids don't listen to you.
Exactly. No. Right.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
But I'm not saying for him to curse. I'm just saying for him to go into the same cadence in which he did before, because I think everyone would have got the joke.
Hey man, he's going to Kids Bop right now.
I was dying to ask him.
Totally different Chase Utley.
Hey, by the way, Chase, how was Kids Bop?
In a partying, he was in a jam and flousing and all.
I'll tell you what: if something comes down with Gabe Kapler, like say after this year, is that a sexy name?
Oh, is it a sexy name?
Chase Utley.
Manager?
As a manager?
Oh, it's the sexiest.
Bring him back.
It's the sexiest.
It might be
sexy
too
name.
Sexy.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, that's. I was about to use a term that would not be appropriate, but yes, that would be extremely sexy, Bob. Yeah. That would be very, very
give
sexy.
Give another year of retirement first, but
yeah. So that's the thing, because he was asked about what he wants to do in the future, and right now he's actually in the media in L.A. I think working for Sportsnet Los Angeles, or Fox Sports Los Angeles, whatever it is, and he's out there doing his thing. But I don't know how much he likes it. As you pointed out, Trey, he's very kind of monotone.
Very.
I haven't really seen him break down a play or a game quite yet. It's got to be, I don't know, it's probably interesting for him, but I think you're right. Give him a little bit more time in retirement, and he's a full-time dad, and that's what he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to get back into baseball, if he misses it that much, oh, my goodness. People would be, I mentioned Larry Bowa as a guy that people would be freaking out over. Yeah. We'd lose our minds in Philadelphia if it was Chase Utley taking over as a manager.
Yeah, but like even when you heard his, yeah, he would need a couple more years of retirement, because right now, even with you listen to some of his stuff, and he was like, look, man, you know, both of my wife and I, we want to stay out there in California. We love California. Yeah, we want to raise our kids in California, so that's where he is, you know. That's, you know, to pull him away from that right now, I don't know.
No, not now.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Now,
if you think Gabe gets on your nerves with the way he's saying something, how would you take it from Chase where he's like, well, you know, Bryce needs to hit the ball a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, how would you
I would bat my eyes. I would get rosy cheeks.
Yeah, okay.
And I would say, Chase, keep talking.
Okay.
Chase, here's a...
He'd have his chin on both hands, looking wide-eyed like a little kid.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, if Bryce Harper said, oh, Chase Utley wants me to hit off a curveball machine, I would punch Bryce Harper in the face. I would say, how dare you?
That's my manager.
What'd you ever win? Butthead. I'd go butthead.
Butthead?
I'd go butthead.
Wow.
That's what I would do. Now, that was what entertained me over the weekend.
He does kind of have some Beavis and Butthead hair.
Oh, Chase. That's not bad. Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, the one had the coif. Like, woof.
I think Beavis had a little bit of the pompadour.
They had the big puffy hair, man.
Wait, now I'm like picturing Ellen with Beavis and Butthead hair. Like, I don't...
Yeah, I see where he's coming from.
All right, good for you. But no, but seriously, that's what we all enjoyed over the weekend was the Chase Utley thing Friday night. That was great. And then baseball happened, unfortunately. But part of the baseball that happened was Saturday night's first ever inaugural, if you will, Gabe Kapler ejection.
Huh.
And he was very animated as to whether or not Scott Kingery, what did they say? He got hit by the pitch.
They said
he swung. Yeah. He offered at it. Now, we tried to hold up. So that was I'm on Gabe's side. It was a horse bleep call. But Gabe made that his Alamo. He made that his last stand. And that's what you want to see from a manager sometimes. See some emotion. See that he's into it. See that this does affect him. And I applaud him for that. But then to still have the same effort after that and Sunday, like, even more reason why I don't think he has at all his finger on the pulse of this team.
His effort fell on deaf ears.
It absolutely really did.
Like, I was wondering, I wanted to see the players' reaction to it. Because sometimes you'll see players up on the top of the dugout when their manager goes after an ump. Mm-hmm. And they're into it. They didn't show up, but I just kept on watching it, and I'm having this feeling the players are like, all right, come on, just get thrown out already, get out of here, will you please? I wondered. I really did wonder how much do they like this guy? What does he have? I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking the question. Where is he with this team? Like, where do these players, how do they feel about him? Because I think it's vitally important right now.
Oh, well, you know, it was funny because I was out, you know, getting my Suburban on, you know, just hanging out amongst the people and just hanging, you know, taking my shoes off, walking through the grass, doing Suburban stuff.
And so, play a little cornhole, did you?
No, we didn't even get a chance to cornhole, man. Huh? Just kind of, you know, the kids are out playing tetherball and everything. I'm playing with the dogs. It was a beautiful evening. But so when I got back and I heard about this Kapler getting kicked out, so I rewound it and made sure I checked this out. So I'm watching Gabe Storm up there and it's, I don't know. You know, he got up there and he was like, look, ref, I need you to help me out here. I'm going to get kicked out, but we need to make this look good. Am I presenting well? You know, because I mean, it was just like,
are my biceps popping?
Yeah, shirt. The buttons pop off the shirt. Am I presenting well for real? Like, I need to know.
Let me know when that vein in my left forehead starts popping out.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more. Okay, you know what? How about this? I'm going to dust up your shoes and storm off. I was like, what is this?
I think Jim Salisbury had the perfect tweet. Yeah. It was, Gabe is really angry. He's yelling at the, here it is. Gabe gets booted by the umpire. He is fired up. He has big biceps. The crowd loves it.
There you go. That right there. And everybody's like, yeah, all right, Gabe, you finally got kicked out of a game. Yeah, nothing else happened. That was it.
I remember Charlie Manuel. This game was in Miami. And I think it was in 06. Maybe it was 07 when they actually won the division. But the Phillies team then, at the moment, looked like this Phillies team now. Listless. They look lazy, lackadaisical. They look like they just didn't know how to play the game. They forgot the basics and all that.
It's weird. In June, they suck. Like, somebody put out their records in June. And even in 2008, when they won it, they were 12-14.
Oof.
Like, they're just not a good June team. It's really weird.
Okay, that is odd. But I remember Charlie standing on the top step of the dugout yelling at players, like calling them out. Like, it was the only time I'd ever seen this from Charlie Manuel. The only other team I'd seen him that animated was when he and Brett Myers got into it. Remember that time he pulled Brett, and I think it was in Washington, and they're both yelling at each other?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.